Today's daf is Megillah Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezras Hashem at the beginning of a new Masechta, Maseches Megillah. Today's daf is being learned as a schus before Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chayim Aaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasid of Fruma Rivka, Elio, Zev ben Brindel, Mordechai ben Azriel, Chana Rivka bas Frey, the Menachem Mendel ben Rachel Mindel, Yaakov Aaron Tzvi ben Yuta, Gittel bas Chaya, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Nosen Yosef ben Yehudis, Gedalia Eliezer ben Roiza, Malka Miriam bas Esther, Sara Shainzel bas Yittel, Elio ben Silla, Hena Peril bas Yecheved, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, and Baruch ben Rachel. Today's daf's also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Mordechai Tzvi ben Yosef, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David, and Chaim Doiv ben Shloima HaKoyen. So Masechtas Megillah really needs very little bit of an introduction. The backdrop of the Masechta, of course, is the Purim story, something that at least superficially we're all very, very familiar with. So rather than do a proper introduction, just to discuss some of the high-level points that we're going to, Be'ezus Hashem, encounter throughout the Masechta, and really some of the significances of the Yontif of Purim. So what exactly is Purim? Number one, Purim is a time that we celebrate a miracle that took place. There was a Rosha Merusha, his name was Haman. He had lobbied the king of Persia. He was one of the most powerful kings of all time, to impose a final solution against the Jews. Lahashmid, laharig, la'abed, es kol ha'yehudim. A miracle took place, and because of the miracle, the Yidden was speared. They went mimisa l'chaim. And it's for that reason that we celebrate and we remember this Yontif. The way we remember the Yontif is by reading the story of Purim, Megillas Esther. Additionally, there's certain mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah of Mishleach Manas. We have a mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yoinim. Persume Nisa is a big theme on Purim, but that's really what Purim is at its core. It's simply a time that we remember a great miracle that took place in our history. Stating that, there are a lot of other ideas that are associated with the Yontif of Purim. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches that when the Yidden were mekabel the Torah for the first time, they did it proverbially at gunpoint. The Yidden didn't really want to be mekabel the Torah, but kofaleim harkegigdus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Yidden to be mekabel the Torah. So although the Yidden were mekabel the Torah, and they were being shomer Torah mitzvahs with Nevi'im and tremendous madrigas for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, but the initial Kabbalah had been done on some inferior way. It was done ba'oinus, stating that there was one moment in history where the Yidden, as a nation, we mekabel the Torah again, and this time they did it beratzen. This time they did it be'ahava. When was that? It was b'mei Achashverosh. The Gemara says, kimu v'kiblu, hoder kiblua b'mei Achashverosh. So the Yontif of Purim, in addition to being a time that we remember a miracle, it's also, to a degree, a time of Kabbalah HaTorah. It's a shvua, so to speak. It's a zman of Matan Torah. The Yidden were mekabel Torah again. This time it was beratzen. There's another idea that's very, very much associated with the Yontif of Purim, and that's more in the Torah of the Arizal. The Arizal said that Yom Kippur, or the way it's referred to in the Torah, Yom Kippurim is a Yom that's Kippur, meaning Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year. Vayerev, vayivoyku, Yom Echad. It's the day of Yom Kippur. But said the Arizal, on a deeper level, in Pnimiyas HaTorah, Yom Kippur is only with a Kaf HaDimyon. It's Keilu, the most chashuv day of the year. What then is really the most chashuv day of the year? It's Purim. Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim. The Arizal said that if Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, meaning whatever Yom Kippur is, Purim is even more. Yom Kippur is a day of tefillah, which would mean that Purim is also a day of tefillah. And just like there's a mitzvah on Purim of Kol HaPoichet Yad Noisam Loi, the Svarim say that on Purim, there's such a concept when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Kol HaPoichet Yad Noisam Loi. So Purim is a day of chesed, matanas l'vyonim, and mishloach manos. It's a day of Torah, hadik kibluah b'meach hashverosh, and it's a day of tefillah. It's a day of kol ha'poishet yad noisam loy. The three pillars on which the world stands are all extremely manifest in the Yontif of Purim. There's another idea that associates very, very strongly with the Yontif of Purim, and that is milchemes Amalek. We know that Amalek chapped with the Yidden at a time where the Yidden were perceived by the nations of the world as being untouchable and invincible. And it's for that reason the Torah says we have to hold a grudge against Amalek. We can never forgive them. Timcha zecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim loy tishka. There's really two mitzvahs of Amalek. There's a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did. Then there's a mitzvah to try to obliterate them and eradicate them from the face of the world. But the point is that Amalek is the nemesis of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Chazal say that what's going to bring the Geula when we're finally able to destroy Amalek? That's somehow associated with the Shem Havaya being complete and with the ultimate Geula. Now, throughout history, Amalek's, for the most part, gotten the better of us. But there was one moment of time where we, on a level, were successful in being able to defeat Amalek. And that was the Purim story. Haman wasn't just a bad guy. Haman was a descendant of Agag. He was the descendant of Amalek. And Chazal say in different places that the nitzachon of the Yidden kineged Haman was really a kiyum in machoy timcha as zecher Amalek. So there's a tremendous sub-theme in the Purim story which relates to one of the most important mitzvahs in the Torah, and that is machoy timcha as zecher Amalek. There's another very interesting idea that's associated with the Yontav of Purim, and that is the Rambam in the end of Perek Beis and Hilchas Megillah. So the Rambam says, kol sifrei hanaviyim, all the Sifrei Nevi'im, all the Ksuvim, are all going to be bottled in Moisa Mashiach. Chutz mi Megillas Esther. There's one item in Ksuvim that we're going to have, and that's Megillas Esther. Harehi kayemes kechamishe chumshe toira ukehalachay shel toira shabapeh she'enon b'teilim la'olam. Just like the chamishe chumshe toira and the toira shabapeh we're going to have forever, so too says the Rambam, Megillas Esther is going to be the same exact way. Ve'afa pisha kol zichron hatzoris yibatel she'nemar kinishkechu hatzoris harishoynois v'chinistiru me'ena. Even though all the Tzoris and all the miracles that happened, we're not going to need anymore. Why not? Because the miracles that are going to take place, La'asad Lavai, are going to make these miracles pale in comparison. So it's not going to be necessary to even talk about it, like the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Masechtas Brachas. But Yemei Purim lo yibatlu. The Yemei Purim are going to be forever. Shenema v'Yemei Purim elu lo yavru miteicha Yehudim v'zichram lo yosef mizarim. So this is something that we're going to have forever. So there's something about Purim that connects it to loss of love. So there's a lot here. There's, of course, at its core, the Purim story, but so much more in terms of what Purim represents as far as Yiddishkeit goes, and that's very much a backdrop in terms of what we're about to embark on, Masechtas Megillah. Now, as it relates to the first Mishnah, there is one sliver of the Purim story that we know this, but just reacquaint ourselves with a little bit, specifically the timeline of the Purim story. So we know that Haman is the Mishnah LeMelech Achashverosh, and he gets Achashverosh to agree to destroy the Jewish people. The question was when? Pick a date, put it on the calendar, we'll get to it, and now we have to go ahead and embark it. So Haman wasn't sure. So he made a geirel, and the geirel fell out that this was going to take place in Chodesh Adar. And then Haman had to pick a day. The day that he picked was Yud Gimel Adar. So he picks the 13th day of Adar. And this is a pasuk in Megillas Esther, just to read one of them. V'neshloyach svarim b'yad harotzim el kol medino is hamelech, lahashmid laharug, ula'abed eskola Yehuda minarva adzokim, tafin noshim b'yoy mechad. What was this yoy mechad? What was the day that they were going to execute this final solution? It was b'shloysha asar l'chaydesh ne'masar u'chaydesh adar u'shlalom l'voiz. It was the 13th day of the 12th month. It was Yud Gimel Adar. That's the day that this was supposed to happen. As the Purim story developed, and as everything unfolded, and Esther comes to Achashverosh, Mihu Zeve Ezehu, and everything happened, so the whole story flipped. It was V'nahapachu LaYehudim, and Achashverosh told Esther that if you want, you can do to Haman everything that he wanted to do to you. Which was, so again, just reading one pasuk. Vayichtoiv b'shem ha-melech ha-chashverosh, vayachtoiv b'tabas ha-melech, vayishlach svarim, b'yad horotzim basusim roich v'horechesh, o'ach shteron b'nei ha-ramokim, asher nosan ha-melech la-yehudim, asher b'chol ir v'ir li-hikoil, much more geschmack if you lay in it with a drop, v'lamoid al-nafshom, la-hashmed, v'la-haroig, u-la-abed, es kol chel amu medina ha-tzorim, moysim tafen noshim u-shlolom la-voiz, when? B'yoy mechad, one day, b'chom medina yisamelech achashverosh, b'shloy sha'asar, l'choydesh ne'masar, hu choydesh adar. And like the pasuk continues, several psukim later, hu b'shnei masar choydesh, hu choydesh adar, b'shloy sha'asar yoyim boy, ashe gi edvar ha'melech v'dasik, le'hiasis, b'yoy mehu ashe sibru, oyvei ha'yehudim lishloy pen, v'nahapachu ashe yishlatu ha'yehudim ha'yehudim ha'yehudim. It was literally v'nahapachu, the same exact day, yud gimel adar. That was the day that all the pashkevilim went out. You could do whatever you want to your Jewish neighbors. Their blood is getting billig. It's hefker. Just hunt them like deer. You could do whatever you want. That was the day that was v'nahapachu. That's when the whole story flipped around. So it was on that day that the Yidden were now given permission that they can go ahead and they could chepa with their neighbors. And that's exactly what they did. The psukim continue and say that it was on that day, on Yud Gimel Adar, that they killed Haman, they killed his 10 sons. This is all unfolding on one day. That's what happened. It was on one day. What day was it? It was on Yud Gimel Adar. Stating that, the pasuk says, Vatoymer Esther. So Esther goes to the king and says, Imal HaMelech Toiv, Yinosein Gam Mocher La Yehudim Asher B'Shushan Lasois Kedos Hayon. I know you gave us one day. That's what Haman originally got. That's the V'nahapachu. You gave us that one day. But I have a one request. Will you give me one more day? Just one more day. Vayomer Hamelech Lehiyaseis came. Vatinosin Das Bishushan. It was limited to Shushan. Vesaseres Bnei Haman Hol Talo. So in Shushan, they got one more day. And then the pasuk says, wraps this all together. Vayikalu HaYehudim Hashem Bishushan. Gam B'yomer Ba'asal L'Chodesh Adar. So the Yidden only in Shushan, because that was Esther's request. She wanted one more day for Shushan. So in Shushan, everybody comes together on the 14th day. Vayargu Bishushan. They killed 300 people. Ubabizu Loishalach Yodim. Vishar HaYehudim Hashem Medinis Hamelech. They only fought on the 13th day. So everybody was able to, doesn't matter where you are, Mehoidu Vat Kush, you were allowed a chepa on the 13th day. And Shushan, they got one more day. What was that extra day they got? They also got the 14th. Says the Megillah. And here's the punchline as it relates to what we need right now. So the people that lived in all the cities outside of Shushan, on the 13th day of Adar, they fought. And on the 14th, they relaxed. And it was a day of celebration. So throughout the world, the Yidden that took advantage of this decree of being able to do whatever you want, the fighting was on the 13th day, the noyach, and the resting was on the 14th day. And what did they do on that day of rest? They made it into a yoy mishta v'simcha. V'ayehudim asher b'shushan, but Yidden that were in Shushan, nikalu b'shvoy sha'asabai, they fought on the 13th, ubar ba'asabai, and on the 14th, the noyach, and when did they rest? B'chamisha asabai. V'asa oisai, and it was that day that they made yoy mishta v'simcha. So the day that the Yidden in Shushan celebrated the first Purim was not the same day as the Yidden all over the world. The Yidden all over the world, Mehoidu Vad Kush, when did they celebrate Purim? It was on the 14th day. They fought on the 13th and they celebrated on the 14th. The Yidden in Shushan fought on the 13th and on the 14th and they celebrated on the 15th. And then the pasuk continues, Al Kain, so that reason. Hayehudim HaProzim, the Yidden that live in open cities, Hayoishvim Ba'orei HaProzois, Oysim Es Yoyim Arba'as Al-Chodesh Adar Simcha U'Mishta V'Yontif U'Mishloyach Manas Ishlo Re'eyo. They are for generations going to have an obligation to remember this incredible miracle on what day? The 14th. That was the day that everybody celebrated. That's the day that they're going to do it. And then the pasuk says, "Va'yichtav Mordechai asadvarim elo." Mordechai chronicled everything, and he sent svarim to all the Jews living everywhere that they should know this. What should they know? L'kayim aleihem lias oisem es yoyim arba asol l'chodesh adar ves yoyim chamisha asol by end the 15th. B'chol shana v'shana. And then there's a whole bunch of psukim that talk about what exactly the mitzvahs were. Vayomim me'ila niskarim v'nasim. Niskarim means you would read the Megillah, you would remember what happened. Presume nisa v'nasim. There'd be mitzvahs. Mishloach manos. There'd be matanos levyoinim. Etc. Etc. There's so many different psukim going on over here. But one thing is clear, that the original story for which we celebrate the Yontif of Purim, there was fighting on the 13th, resting on the 14th for Jews. Mehoidu Vat Kush outside of Shushan. Shushan was unique. Shushan, they fought on the 13th. They got one more day. That was Esther's request. So it was on the 14th as well. And when were they noyach? When did they rest? It was on the 15th. And as the Megillah says, that for history, we have 2 days of Purim. We have the day of Purim on the 14th to remember those that rested on the 14th. And then we have Purim on the 15th, also known as Shushan Purim. Why is it called Shushan Purim? Because that's when the Yidden and Shushan rested. And therefore, we have that other day. We have that 15th day as well. But one thing is clear is that there's 2 days over here that we're straddling. We're straddling the the 14th day and the 15th day, that's very much going to be the topic of Daf Beis. Just to end the introduction with one machshava, and that is, so we know why Haman picked the month of Adar. He picked the month of Adar because that's what the Geirah was. He built Pur and it came out to the month of Adar. But within Adar, he had to choose a day. And the day that he chose was Yud Gimel Adar. And the question is why? It doesn't say anywhere why he picked Yud Gimel. Why Adar? That was the Geirah. But Yud Gimel, why not Yud Aleph? Why not Yud Beis? Why not Yud Dalet? Why not Tezvav? Why did he pick Yud Gimel Adar? So the Arvei Nachal in Parsha Shmini, so he bases this on a vart that he saw from the Chesed Lavram. So who was the Chesed Lavram? Chesed Lavram was a tremendous mekubel. He was the grandfather of the Chidah. So the Chidah had a Zayda, the Chesed Lavram, that was very, very famous. He was considered the biggest mekubel in the world at that time. And in the Chesed Lavram, he talks about this Indian, and based on that, he says a pshat. The pshat he says is that we know that the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim, literally, Egypt, they were on the brink of descending into Nun Shari Toma. They were in the Memtesh Shari Toma, and the Arizal said that had Hashem not taken the Yidden out at that moment, they would have slipped into the Shar Nun, and at that point, there would have been no hope. So Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't just the Yitzia from the physical bondage that was Egypt, but there was a Yitzia from the spiritual bondage as well. The Yidden, again, they were literally slipping into the Shar Nun, and when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were able to escape that. Says the Chesed Lavram, that every single year when it comes, Pesach, every Yid, regardless of who he is and where he is, on some level, is able to tap in to the Hashpois and the Oirois of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he is able to, on some level, emerge and leave his own Mitzrayim. He's able to leave his own Shar Memtes. But the truth is, says the Arvei Nachal, that this Inyan really starts not on Pesach. Because Chazal say that there's a mitzvah of Shoyalim V'Darshim B'Hilchis HaPesach Lamid Yoyim Koidim HaPesach. 30 days before Pesach, there's already a mitzvah to start engaging and to start learning all the halachas of Pesach. Which means that really the hashpois of Pesach don't start on Pesach, but they start 30 days before Pesach. So if that's true, l'fi the Chesed Lavram, that every single year, when the Hashpois of Pesach come, every Yid is able to tap in to some potential, to some energy, where you're able to leave your own Memtesh Shari Tumo. That means that Koyach really starts when? 30 days before. Now, what's 30 days before Pesach? 30 days before Pesach is Purim. Which means that, really, Yud Dalid Adar, which is 30 days before Pesach, Adar HaSamach HaNisan La'olam Chaser. So 30 days before Pesach, that's going to be the first day that a Yid is able to start tapping in to this Koyach to be able to emerge from his Tumah. So said that Arvei Nachal Adover Nifla. He says if the first day that the Yid emerges from his Tumah is Yud Dalet Adar, that means what's the last day that he submerged in his Shar Memtes? It's Yud Gimel Adar. Which means, what would be the day on the calendar that the Yid is in the most Tumadic state? It's probably Yud Gimel Adar. Because Yud Gimel Adar is where you're literally, you built up all this tumah throughout the year, and now Yud Dalet, it's Lamed Yoyim Koidim HaPesach, you're able to start emerging from the Shar Memtes, Kifi the Chesed Lavram, you're able to start emerging from your tumah. He said, Haman Arasha was able to tap in, he understood that this day the Jews were more vulnerable. There was something tumadig about Yud Gimel Adar, and that's why he picked this day, because he understood that this was the day of such intense tumah. But you know what happened? It was V'nahapachula Yehudim. It was that day, a day that the Yid really should be in a situation where he's so tameh. But that was the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Yid in this unbelievable Yeshua. It's another wrinkle in appreciating the Venapachu. It's another wrinkle in terms of understanding what Purim represents. Purim represents the miracle. Purim represents Hadi Kiblu B'Meach HaShverich. Purim is a day of Tefillah. Yom Kippurim is like the day of Purim. It's a concept of Melchemes HaMolek. There's something about Purim that the Rambam says. The Rambam talking. That it's Chamish Echum Shei Torah U'Kitar Shabbat. Something we're going to have loss of love. It's also a day that a person is able to emerge. He's able to emerge Taka like Yom Kippur. And he's able to emerge from the Shar Memtes. And with that introduction, we begin Sechtes Megillah. Zok the Mishnah. Megillah Nikras. The Megillah can be read. B'yud Aleph, B'yud Beis, B'yud Gimel, B'yud Dalet, U'B'tezvav. On the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th day of Adar. Loi pachos v'lo yoyser. Not earlier. I mean, you can never read the Megillah before Yud Aleph Adar. V'lo yoyser, you can never read the Megillah after Tezvav Adar. Now, the truth is, this Mishnah, the opening line of the Mishnah, is a Chiddush Nifla. It's an unbelievable Chiddush, because if you look in the Megillah, the Megillah says clearly that there are 2 days that you can celebrate the Yontel of Purim. And the 2 days are Yudalad and Tezvav. And we just explained why, because those were the days that originally the Yidden rested. They rested Vinayach Yudalad and Shushan was Betezvav. So these would seem to be the two options, the 2 days that would be possible. So what's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel all about? Why is Megillah and the Kras on 5 days? Really, it should only be on 2 days. So the Mishnah is going to go now and the ensuing Gemara to discuss it, but I think it's worth just speaking out one thing, Baal Peh, before we see the Mishnah inside. It'll just make everything flow a little bit more smoothly. And that is, we're about to see that the reason the Megillah could be read, B'yud Aleph, B'yud Beis, B'yud Gimel, was based on a special kula that the Chachamim, they had basis for this, otherwise they can never do this, but there was a special kula that the Chachamim enforced for the Yidden that lived in the small villages. By way of background, the Yidden that lived in small villages, so they lived in a little shtetl. So what happened if they needed, for example, to go to the shuk, or if they had to go to Bezdin because they were dealing with some sort of court case? So they couldn't handle it in their small shtetl. They didn't have a Bezdin. They would go to one of the larger cities. So the people living in the smaller cities were often traveling to the larger cities. Specifically, this is just a historical fact, they would usually go on Mondays and Thursdays. And the reason is, number one, that's when Beis Din convened. There was also Kriyas HaTorah, the Rishonim saying. Very often people would go to hear Kriyas HaTorah. But the point is, Mondays and Thursdays were days that the people from the villages, they would take their horse and buggy and they would go, for whatever it was they would needed, then they would go to the Greiser Shtetlach. The Chachamim were mekel for these Bnei HaKfarim, these people living in the villages, and they said that if you want, we'll allow you to go, when you go anyways to the large city on your Monday and Thursday for the trip that you usually take, if you want those days, you'll be able to hear the Megillah. Now, it's a very big Kiddush. What do you mean, Monday and Thursday? Is it Yudalit? Is it Tezvav? No. As long as it's the closest Monday to Yudalit and Tezvav, or the closest Thursday to Yudalit and Tezvav, that's going to be okay. Now, why couldn't the people in the villages just stay home and read the Megillah on Yudalit, or read the Megillah on Tezvav? The Torah says they didn't know how to read the Megillah. They partially didn't know how to. So they were going to have to go to the cities anyways, really, if they wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, which is something they have to do. They're anyways going in on Mondays and Thursdays. So Chazal said, you're going in Mondays and Thursdays anyways, we're going to throw you this incredible bone. It's a massive leniency. It's an unbelievable hetter. It's one of the greatest kulas of all time. The closest Monday to Purim, you'll be fine. You'll just go, find the local shul. You'll get someone. You'll pay someone to read the Megillah for you. And like this, you'll be able to be Yoitzah Yemigal. Now, why were the Chachamim so nice? Why? I mean, this is a Chiddush. So the Gemara is going to have a little bit of a discussion on Daf Dalit. And the Maskanas the Gemara is going to be is because the Bnei HaKfarim used to support, they were very nice to the people that lived in the larger cities. In a flip way, meaning just like the people in the villages relied on the people living in the cities, the people in the cities relied on the people living in the villages. And they used to provide them with food sometimes and as a schar for the really kind things that they did for the people living in the large cities, Chazal said, we're going to give you this kula. So again, we're going to see more about the specifics and the nuances of this kula on Daf Dalit. But for now, the general concept is that we're being lenient for the people living in the Kfarim. We're rewarding them for the tremendous chesed that they do with the people living in the large cities. And that's where Megillah Nekras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tesvav is going to play out. So says the Mishnah. This is the way it works. If somebody lives in a city that's walled, but it's not just walled, the wall dates itself all the way to the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, meaning when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time. So those people would read the Megillah on the 15th day of Adar. Kfarim, if somebody lived in a small village, or if he lived in a large city, point is, it doesn't have a wall, or it has a wall, but the wall doesn't trace itself back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun, they would read on Yodal Ella. But there's one difference. There's one difference between the people that lived in the villages versus the people that lived in the cities. So the people that lived in the villages, they always had the right. And by the way, this is an option that they can exercise or choose not to exercise. But they had the option. This was a schus that they had. If they want, they can read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday, the Yom HaKenisa. That's the day that they used to enter the city that's closest to Yudalit. Ketzan, how does this play out? Choli is Yudalit. If the 14th day of Adar falls out on a Monday, Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos Kfarim Bayayim, then the people that live in the villages and the people that live in the large cities would read the Megillah that day. Why? because now the Yom HaKnisa is Yod Aleph, so there's no earlier day to move it up to. And the people that lived in the walled cities, dating back to Yeshua Ben-Nun, they would read it the next day, on Tuesday. That's the way it should be. That's the perfect way. Chalis b'shishah b'rivi. If Yod Aleph falls out on Tuesday and Wednesday, it's a Kfar Makdim al Yom HaKnisa. The Kfarim have the option if they want. They can go back to the Yom HaKnisa. They can read the Megillah on Monday. Vayoris g'doyle is karim b'bayayim. And the people living in the large cities, they would read it that day. They don't have this leniency. And the people that live in the walled cities would do it the next day. What happens if Yud Dalet falls out on a Thursday? So again, Thursday is the Yom HaKnisa. So Kfarim Vayoris Gedoylo is Kfarim Vayoyim. The people that live in the villages and the people that live in the large cities would read the Megillah that day. And the people that live in the walled cities would do it on Friday, the next day. It's Tezvav, that's their day. Cholios Erev Shabbos. If Yud Dalet fell out on an Erev Shabbos, Kfarim Makdim Liyem HaKnisa. So the people that lived in the Kfarim would go back to the Yom HaKnisa. What's the Yom HaKnisa? It's Thursday. Vayoris Gedoylos. And the people that lived in the large cities, Umukafas Chaima, and the people that lived in the walled cities, Kairim Bay Bayoim, would read it that day on Friday. Now notice, here there's a little bit of a wrinkle. The people that lived in the large cities are reading it on Friday. That's easy, because Friday is Yud Dalet. The people that lived in the walled cities are also reading it on Friday. Why? It's Yud Dalet. I thought they're supposed to read it on Tezvav, but Tezvav is Shabbos. We know you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Gzeira Sheme Yavirenu, Dalet Amis, Bishus Harabim. There's another reason the Gemara gives, but we don't read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos, so we have to move them up. What do we move them up to? We move them up to Friday, so they end up reading it the same day as the large cities do. Chalias b'Shabbos. If Yud Dalet falls out on a Shabbos, so Kfarim, V'ayoris G'doylois Makdimin, V'Kerin Liyem HaKnisa. So the people that live in the villages are going to go back to Thursday. That's easy. They always go to the Yom HaKnisa. This is a little bit of a chiddush. The people that live in the large cities, they get bumped back to Thursday. So notice, when the 15th day fell out on Shabbos, so the people living in the Krachin, that were Mekafes Chaima, they read it on Friday, which is Yud Dalet. If Yud Dalet falls out on Shabbos, so now the people of Yud Dalet can't read it on Yud Dalet, they get backed up, not to Friday, which is Yud Gimel, but rather to Thursday, which is Yud Beis. Umukafas Chaim Elamachar, as it relates to the people living in the walled cities, that's easy, they'll do it on Sunday. Chol Yis Achar HaShabbos. If Yud Dalet falls out on Sunday, easy. Kfarim Akdim Liyem Achnisa. The Kfarim, they go back to Thursday. And the people that live in the large cities, they would read it that day. And the people that live in the walled cities, they would do it tomorrow. The point is there's a special leniency for the people that live in the villages that they can always go back to the Yom HaKnisa. Because they can go back to the Yom HaKnisa, it comes out they're going to end up reading the Megillah, potentially, if they choose to, earlier than Yud Dalet. How much earlier? So do the math. The earliest it can be is Yud Aleph. If Yud Dalet falls out on a Sunday, for example, so Sunday is Yud Dalet, means Shabbos is Yud Gimel, Friday is Yud Beis, and Thursday is going to be Yud Aleph. But that's the earliest that it could possibly be. So the earliest that it could possibly be is Yud Aleph, and therefore, Megillah Nekras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesfah. Now, this is all nice. The Chazal wanted to be Mekel, they wanted to throw some Kula, Schar is the Lashon that the Rishonim use, for the people that were living in these villages, and as a result, they said that even though it says the Megillah, you're supposed to read the Megillah on Yud Dalet and Tezvah, but if you want to read it earlier, no worries, you can read it early, but you need a Makar for this. Now, if the whole idea of Purim was rabbinic in nature, so maybe you can say the Rabbanon have a right to do things like this, but Purim is, and the obligation to read the Megillah is based on Psukim, and as a result, l'churi, you would need a Makar for this. So that's going to be the first discussion of the Gemara. Where did the Chazal have the plaitzes? Where did they have the shoulders to be able to say that even though really you're supposed to read a Yud Dalet and Tezvav, if you want, you can read the Megillah B'Yud Aleph, B'Yud Beis, or B'Yud Gimel, says the Gemara. Megillah Nekras, B'Yud Aleph. And for that matter, B'Yud Beis and B'Yud Gimel. Min Alon, says the Gemara, how do you know that? Meaning, how do you know that Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel are days that are appropriate to read the Megillah? And the Megillah only it says Yud Dalet and Tezvav. So the Gemara says, Min Alon, Bit Mia, you're not sure? Could it be in the Lamemela? Come on. What do you mean? We're going to learn about this later. Chachamim Mikilu Alakfarim. The Chachamim made a kula for the people living in the villages, Liyos Makdim Liyem HaKnisa, to say that if they want, they could read the Megillah already by the Yom HaKnisa. And the reason was, Kadesh shiyasafku mayim umazin lacheim shebekrakim, so that they should be available to provide water and food to their brothers living in the large cities. Now, this line of the Gemara is a little different than the way we explained it. When we explained the reason Chazal were meko for the people living in the villages. The truth is, we explained it based on the maskana of the Gemara in Daf Dalet. The Gemara over here is quoting the Havamina of the Gemara in Daf Dalet. It's a little tzarech bir why, the Achreinim talk about it, but this line, that the reason the Chazal were meko for the Kfarim is so that they should be available, it's a nice reason, but it doesn't stand in the maskana of the Gemara. Regardless, the Gemara says, Anan hachi karmina. No, I know all that. Our question is something else. Mechti. The whole concept of Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel must be from the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. How do you know that? Because these are the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, Yud Aleph was Tikkun. Because if you're going to tell me that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, they instituted Yud Aleph and Tezvav. Also, Rabbanu Vakrit, I can't tell Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. Do the Rabbanu have the authority? Do they have the credentials to be able to undo or even tweak something that the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila instituted at the time we learned in the Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Idias. Ein Bezdin Yachal Avatol Divri Bezdin Chaveiroi. Elam King Godom Emenu B'chachem V'minyin. A later Bezdin does not have the ability to revoke something that an earlier Bezdin had put into place, unless they're greater Bechachma, it's a wiser Bezdin. Some say that it means that the Av Bezdin is smarter than the Av Bezdin of the previous Bezdin. Ubeminyan, he has a much bigger Olam, meaning he has more followers, he has more Talmidim. You would need that the latter Bezdin should be a more impressive Bezdin in order to undo the previous Bezdin. There's no Bezdin that's going to be more Chashiv than the Bezdin that instituted Mikra Megillah. This was a Bezdin that Mordechai Tzadik sat on. This was the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. So there's nobody later that has any ability, L'chura, to challenge what the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila did. Must be, says the Gemara. Elo Pshita, it's obvious. We don't even have to say this. Kulu Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, Takinu. That means when the Mishnah says, Megillah Nekras B'Yidalvi Bezi B'Gimel Adalot Ezvav, it means the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila instituted that. The Gemara says, Hecher Amiza. It has to be hinted somewhere, because the Megillah says clearly, Yidalot and Tezvav. If it's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel as well, somewhere in the story there must be a remez to it. So the Gemara says there's two remez. The first remez is Omer Rab Shemen Bar Abba, Omer Rab Yoichanan. Rab Shemen Bar Abba said in the name of the great Rab Yoichanan. He said, Omer Kro, it says in the Pasuk, L'kayim es yimei ha-purim o'ele bizmanim. So this is one of the many psukim that the Gemara is going to darshan now, that are at the end of Megillah Sestas. This is the very, very end of the Megillah, literally the last page, when there's no Hamans anymore, right? This is like the end of the Megillah, when you go through all these psukim that talk about all the different dinim. So this is one of those psukim. And it says there, L'kayim es yimei ha-purim mo'ele bizmaneyem, kasher tzkiem aleyem mordchei ha-yehudiv ester ha-malka, v'kasher kibim al-nafshem v'al-zarem divrei ha-tzoymois v'zakosam. But the word that we are going to focus on is bizmaneyem. L'kayim es yimei ha-purim mo'ele Bizmanehem, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan says, Zmanehem? It's like a very flowery word, right? It feels like there's an extra syllable there. Zmanim harbe tiknulhem. Zmanehem. Oh, there's Zmanim. Oh, Chazal, they must have been misakim many Zmanim. Or it says, what do you mean? Haimi bari leilagufe. We know. I didn't know that. Maybe the reason it says my name is because there were two Zmanim. There was Yudalid and there was Tezvav. That nobody's disputing. So maybe that's why it says my name. It could have just said the word Zman. If it would have said the Kaimis Yimea Purima Ela Bizman, you would have known, refer back to the Zmanim that I mentioned, which is Yudalin and Tezvav respectively, and you would have known that those are the 2 days. So really, Zman would have accomplished that. My Zmanehem. So why does it say Zmanehem? It's extra. In Hilchas grammar, it's extra. Zmanim Tuva. Must be that there's extra Zman. If I'm like, Katami Boy, the Gemara says no, maybe not. Maybe the reason it says Zmanehem, and not simply Zman, is to teach me that Zmanu Shalze, Loik Zmanu Shalze. Meaning, had it simply said Zman, maybe you would have thought that you have an option. And if you want, you could do it on your Dalit. If you want, you could do it on Tezvav. And maybe if everyone decides to do it on your Dalit, everyone could do it on your Dalit. Everyone decides to do it on Tezvav, they could do it on Tezvav. Meaning, maybe the two Zmanim are two choices. This year, Purim is going to be on your Dalit. Next year, it's going to be on Tezvav. The year after that, it's Tezvav. And then it's your Dalit again. Maybe that's what it means. How do you know that there's two distinct Zmanim? That some your Dalit, some Tezvav, and this is the way it is every single year. That's why it had to say Zmanim. So again, Zmanim is not extra. I need Zmanim to teach me not only that there's two Zmanim, but Zmanu Shalzeh, like Zmanu Shalzeh. So Gemara says, I'm Cain. If that's all the Pasuk wanted to teach me, Lema Kroz Zmanom. It could have said Zmanom. My Zmanehem, Shamet Minokulu. Oh, Zmanehem, that's already Mashma more. Meaning, it could have said Zman. Zmanom, Zmanehem. Oh, Zmanehem, that's the point, and that's how you know this additional Zmanim that are not mentioned in the Megillah. So the Megillah mentions Yud Aleph and Tezvav, but in addition to that, there's Yud Aleph, there's Yud Beis, and this Yud Gimel. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Eima Zmanim Tuva. Maybe it should be Zmanim Tuva. Now, how many Zmanim? I don't know. Maybe Yochum Rish Chodesh, like we say by the Haggadah. Mishenichnas Adam Arvin Besimcha. It was a Chodesh Asher Nefach. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe like from the beginning of the month. I don't know. But maybe more Zmanim. So the Gemara says, Zmanehem Dum Yudizmanam. Just like, had it not said Zmanehem, and it would have said Zmanam, how many Zmanim would it have meant? Would have meant two. Would have meant the two that I mentioned in the Megillah, Yudalad and Tezvav. So to Zmanehem means to add another two, meaning Zmanehem that we're adding is Dumya Dizmanam, Mazmanam Tre, just like Zmanam is two, Av Zmanehem Tre, it's another two. So Gemara says, oh, another two? We need three. Ve'ema Treis of a Tleisa. So maybe it's Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. How do you know Yud Aleph? So the Gemara says, Kedam Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. The terrace, this is something Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said. What did Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak say? Yud Gimel, Zman Kihilo Lakoilhi, Veloy Tzarech Lirebuye. He said it in some other context. Hochanami, here too. Yud Gimel, Zman Kihilo Lakoilhi, Veloy Tzarech Lirebuye. You don't need to be married by Yud Gimel. It's poshit that on Yud Gimel, if you want to read the Megillah, you can read the Megillah. Why? What happened? It was Zman Kihilo. That's when they fought. And if that's when they fought, that's the day of the Nitzachim. It's true. We commemorate the day they rested. Upper Kal v'chomer the day that they fought. So we don't need a riboy for day Yud Gimel. What we need a riboy then for would be Yud Aleph, Yud Beis. We have a riboy for two, and that's how we're marba Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Says the Gemara v'emes shitzav v'shev. So maybe we should be marba tezayin and Yud Zayin. Meaning, obviously we're not going to be marba 2 days in middle of November, right? That's obvious. But it's going to be days that are affiliate and they're associated with Purim. So you have Yud Aleph Tezvav, we just said also Yud Gimel, now you're going to be Marba 2 more days? So we're being Marba Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Maybe you should be Marba Tezayin and Yud Zayin. So the Gemara says, V'lo Yavar Ksiv. That's also in that context. Kimu V'kiblo HaYehudim Aleim V'al Zarim V'al Kol Anuvim Aleim V'lo Yavar. What does V'lo Yavar mean? That it's going to be, Tezvav will be the last day. It's not going to go further. So you do it with Tzadikim that held that Tezayin and Yud Zayin are very, very holy days. Why? Because there was a havamin of the Gemara that Shitzer and Shifsa should be Purim. He says, no, a havamin of an Gemara that it should be Purim. That sounds like a cause to celebrate, or at least not say Tachnun. But either way, Shitzer and Shifsar is definitely a havamin of a Gemara that it should be a Yontif. So the Gemara says, if you're going to be married but 2 days, you're going to be married at Aleph and Yubay. So what's the first Makar? The first Makar is, it says, L'kayim esimei apurim ha'ele bizmanehem. And really, what the Pasuk means to say is Yudalit and Tezvav. But the Torah didn't say just Zman or Zmanam. It said Zmanehem. And Zmanehem means it's coming to be Marba. How many days? Zmanehem. Dumya Dizmanam. Zmanam is 2 days. So Zmanehem is probably also 2 days. Now, Yud Gimel we know for sure. So the question then becomes, which 2 days? It's either Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, or it's going to be Tezayin and Yud Zayin. V'lo Yavar Ksiv. So it's not Tezayin and Yud Zayin. Must be the days that we're going to be Marba are Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. So what's the Makar to Megillah and the Krasb Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Dalet as well? It's learned out from Zman. It's really two things. It's a combination of Yud Gimel, Zman, Kila, Lakoili, V'lo Yitzarech, Lirbuye. For sure, Yud Gimel. We have a ribui from Zmanehem for another 2 days. This was Rabbi Yochanan's Makar. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni had a different Makar. He said, it says also in these psukim at the end of Esther, L'kayim aleim, li'ois oisim, es yoim arba asa l'chodesh adov, es yoim chamisha asa boi, b'chal shana v'shana, kayomim ashenachu v'hem ha'yehudim me'oivim. Now, Pasha, what the Pasuk is saying is that just like in that era, that generation, the Yidden rested on these 2 days. So too, in future generations, the Yidden should do the same thing. Kayomim, like those days, that's the way the Yidden should do it for all future generations. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said a drasha. You know what kayomim means? It could have said yomim. It says kayomim. L'rabbeis Yud Aleph Yud Beis. That in addition to the dates that were stated in the Megillah as dates for Mikra Megillah, there are additional dates that we can add. What days or how many days? Kayomim, 2 days, and which 2 days? Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Again, the Gemara unpacks this as well. Ve'ema Treis of Etleiser. If it's 2 days, so it should be Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. How do you know Yud Aleph? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. This is where Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said it. Zman kila lakoili v'loy tzarech l'rabuy. Right, the first time that the Gemara quoted Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, it was kid Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Because Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak wasn't commenting on what Rabbi Yochanan said. He was commenting, just pashup shot what the Gemara means. He was commenting on what Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said. That's why here it's Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, and there it was kid Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Either way, but you don't need to be Marba Yud Gimel, because you don't need to be Marba Yud Gimel, and therefore Marba Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Ema Shitza v'shev, sir. Maybe we should be Marba Tezayin and Yud Zayin. So we know it's not going to be Tez Zayin and Yud Zayin must be, it's going to be Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Regardless, we have two Makairis now. How you know Megillah and the Kras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Betezvav. Yud Dalet, Tezvav, that's Mefurish in the Megillah. Yud Gimel, Zman Kehila Lakoyli, Veloit Sarach Lerabuye. What about Yud Aleph and Yud Beis? Rabbi Yochanan learned it from Zmanehem. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani learned it from Kayamim. Zok to Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, my time alone with Zmanehem. Why did Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani learn it from Kayamim? Why didn't he learn it from Zmanehem? What's wrong with Rabbi Yochanan's Mekar? So the Gemara says, Zman, Zmanom, Zmanehem, Loi Mashmale. That whole shtickle Torah could have said Zman, Zmanom would have meant this, Zmanehem would have meant that. Didn't hold of that. Rav Shem Barabba, my time liyamak mi kibayam. Rav Shem Barabba, he was the one who said the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Why did he learn it from Zmanayim? Why didn't he learn it from Kayamim? Amalach, ahu l'dayres hu d'chsev. Because he understood Kayamim is not a Joshua. Kayamim is like we spoke out. The pasuk is simply saying that just like they rested then, Kayamim, this is the way they should continue to rest for future generations. Zok to Gemara. Omar Rabba Bar Barchana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Again, so the first part of the Gemara addressed the Makar. How do you know that you can read the Megillah Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav? So we're moving along, discussing this first halach. So Rabba Bar Barchana said it in the name of, again, the great Rabbi Yochanan. Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Stimta. Our Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Akiva Stimta. So Rabbi Akiva Stimta, we all heard of Rabbi Akiva. Who's Rabbi Akiva Stimta? So Rashi says that Rabbi Akiva Stimta is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Stimta is Rabbi Akiva. Why was it called Rabbi Akiva Stimta? So Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat Rashi says is because many of the Stam Mishnahs are really Rabbi Akiva's Torah. We know Stam Mishnah is Rameir. Rameir was a Talmud Rabbi Akiva, and it's Rameir Alibad Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yudanasi was a Talmud Rameir, who himself was a Talmud Rabbi Akiva. So really, Stam Mishnah traces itself back to Rabbi Akiva. Another Pshat Rashi says, is V'yesh Mefarshim Stimta Kol Hastumim Talmid Avayu. All the Stams are Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Stam Mishnah is Rameir, he was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud. Stam Toisefta is Rabbi Nechemya. Stam Sifra was Rabbi Yehuda. V'kulu Stimtoi Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. All the stams was Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. The Welt says all the stams is Aliba of the hearts from Rabbi Akiva. The whole Teresh Baal Peh comes from the lev, of the greatest lev that was Pasuach Ke'ulam of Rabbi Akiva. But the point is that Rabbi Akiva stimta, said Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is all Rabbi Akiva. The Darish Zman Zmanom Zmanayim. Who Darshin Zman Zmanom Zmanayim. Again, the names matter. Omer Rabbe Bar Barchana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva Stimta, who Darshin Zman Zmanom Zmaneh. That's Rabbi Yochanan Lashitasei, who said that the Makar to Megill and the Kras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav, is Zman Zmanom Zmaneh. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani had a different Makar. He said, Kayom. Yeah, it's Pasha, Rabbi Yochanan Lashitasei. Abba Chomim Maim Rimmet said, Rabbi Yochanan, the Chomim hold, ain't Kayon Oysa Ela Bezmanah. No, there's no such thing. You can only read the Megillah Bezmanah. You can't be at these days. Meisavei, Freit Gemara, is that true? Omer Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, E Masai. When is this true? Bizman Shahashonim Kitikna. Meaning, when could you read the Megillah Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? That's if the Shonim are Kitiknon, the Yisrael Shruyin Alad Masan. And the Yidin are Shruyin Alad Masan. Avo Bizman Azeh. But nowadays, Hoyul Mistaklimba, being that people rely on Purim to know when Pesach is, ain't Kari Nois Ela Bizmana, you can only read from it Bizmana. Rashi explains very Gishmak, especially after learning Beya and Rosh Hashanah, and Tainus for that matter, that being that very often the people that lived in Chutzars, they didn't know when Yontif was, so they had these cheat sheets that they would rely on. One of the things that they always used as a backup was that if they knew when Purim was, you could just count 30 days and you're going to know when Pesach is. Now, if you're going to start playing around with when you read the Megillah, you're going to read it on Yod Aleph, you may count 30 days later, Yod Aleph Nisan, you're going to start praving your Seder, you're going to end up in big trouble. You're going to eat matzahs on Yod Aleph and you're going to be eating pizza on the second days of Pesach. So you can end up with an issue. So it's because of this, said Rabbi Yehuda, that once upon a time when things were in Arden, then everything was fine. But once they were mistaken, but people started relying on Purim, at that point you can't rely on it anymore. So we have this Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who says that, yeah, Megillah Nekras, Yod Aleph, Yod Beis, Yod Gimel, but at the same time, only sometimes. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Aliba D'man. Who's Rabbi Yehuda going according to? Yeah, just to be clear again. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva Stimta. The Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, who holds Megillah and the Kras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav. Chamim hold, never. Rabbi Yehuda is this in-between Shita. Says, it used to be, yeah? Nowadays, Hayolam Mestaklimba. Nah, says the Gemara, who's Rabbi Yehuda going according to? Ilei Malibid Rabbi Akiva. Does he mean Rabbi Akiva? Filo Bezman Hazeh Yisro Lai Takanta. Rabbi Akiva said this halacha of Megillah Nekras, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. He said it in his days. He lived after the Churban, and as a result, he said it even b'zman hazeh, times that they were mistaklima. So it doesn't sound like Rabbi Akiva would agree to this caveat. Hello, lava libid rabbanon. Must be Rabbi Yehuda was saying it according to rabbanon. No, u'b'zman shashanim kitiktem Yisrael shurin alad masim yakarinon. So you see that even the rabbanon agree that at the very least, when things are normal and everything is the way it's supposed to be, so at the very least, then you can read the Megillah Yedal few days. If that's the case, tufta the Rabbi Yochanan tufta. Wow. Gemara just completely dismisses Rabbi Yochanan based on this. You see, Rabbi Yochanan's tufta, because Rabbi Yochanan said the Chachamim, they completely, categorically disagree with Rabbi Akiva's halach. It can't be. Because you see, Rabbi Yehuda must be the Chachamim, quote unquote. And he holds that it used to be, yeah, now not, but once upon a time, yeah. So that's a tufta on Rabbi Yochanan. Ikad Amri, some say that Omer Rabbi Barbachanim, Rabbi Yochanan, Zudiv Rabbi Akiva Samta. Some have it a different girsa in what Rabbi Barbachanim said in the name Rabbi Yochanan. And that was that Zudiv Rabbi Akiva Samta. The Mishnah, Avach Chachamim hold b'zman hazeh. Nowadays, holu mistaklim ba in kari noitz ela b'zman. Now that we rely on Purim sometimes to know when Pesach is, therefore you can only read it b'zman. Oh, this is a whole different Chachamim. Not the Chachamim hold you never read it. Chachamim hold nowadays you don't. If that's the case, what was a kasha is a raya. Tanya nami achi, a brisa that supports this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, "A masai b'zman shashanim kitiknan Yisrael shurin alad masa." What was this true when it was shanim kitiknan? Avach b'zman hazeh holu mistaklim ba in kari noitz. Now that we rely on Purim to know when Pesach is, you can only do it b'zmanah, which is exactly shitas hachachamim. So it's not a tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan tiyufta, but it's a tanya nami hachi de Rabbi Yochanan. More on this note, Ravashi kashale de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda. Ravashi had a stira between this Rabbi Yehuda and another Rabbi Yehuda. Umaykem lo lebraisa ki Rabbi Yosi be Rabbi Yehuda. Because of this question, he edited a braisa. And he made the brisa not Rabbi Yehuda, but rather Rabbi Yosi be Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Miyam Rabbi Yehuda b'zmanah zahil mustaklim bein kari nisael b'zmanah." What did Rabbi Yehuda say? We just brought Rabbi Yehuda twice in the Manalf. That it's true. Once upon a time, you were able to read the Megillah Yedal a few days, you're given the Dalat as well. But once the Yidden started relying on Purim to know when Pesach was, then already you can't read it, but Yudalf, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. So the Gemara says, did Rabbi Yehuda really say this? For a mini, I'll ask you a kasha. Rabbi Yehuda said, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Masai, Mokim, Shenichnasim, Shenim, Bechamishi. This is a Mishnah later. When is it true that you read the Megillah, Yudalf, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? That's when the people in the villages used to enter the cities on Mondays and Thursdays. Avo Mokim, Shenim, Nechnasim, Shenim, Bechamishi. But days that they didn't enter, in Karinoisa, El Abizmana. Then you have to read it in Yudalit. Why? Obvious. It's only a kula for them. Meaning, you're coming in anyways on Monday, so you'll be able to hear the Megillah. You don't have to make another trip. We're rewarding you for the fact that you take care of your brethren in the large cities. So says Rabbi Yehuda, if it's a kula, you do it. Otherwise, of course, you don't do it. What's the kasha? Makom shenichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi miyakarinon v'afilu b'zman hazeh. It sounds like that Rabbi Yehuda means even today. That even nowadays, as long as you live in a village and your minig is to come in Mondays and Thursdays, you can read it even nowadays. So we have a steer Rabbi Yehuda. We have two Rabbi Yehudas that are commenting on the lach of the Mishnah and they seem to contradict each other. One Rabbi Yehuda is, nowadays it's not applicable. Another Rabbi Yehuda is that if you live in a place where they don't go in Mondays and Thursdays, then it's not applicable. It's a stira. Nowadays, not applicable means it's never applicable nowadays. If you live in a village where they don't go in, it's not applicable. Sounds like really it is. It's just punk you if you live in Azaz or Darfur. So for you, it's not going to be negay. So we have a stira. So how did he answer the stira, Ravashi? The Gemara says, "Umaykom la lebraisa ki Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda." He changed the braisa. Now notice, he didn't change the Mishnah. He changed the braisa because the Mishnayos were edited much more properly than the braisas, and therefore we're much more hesitant to touch a Mishnah than we are a braisa. Braisa is a little bit easier. So if you have a question, which girsa's the wrong girsa, you would probably change the braisa as opposed to the Mishnah. But the Gemara is going to actually give him more of a reason. That's Mishum the Kashali, the Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Rabbi Yehuda, Maikum Lala Braisa, Ki Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. What, you have a steer, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, all of a sudden it's a Hefkevelt? You make it Rabbi Yehuda, I know it's a braisa, it's not a Mishnah, but still, you're going to turn it into Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, you're right. Ravashi, Shmielay, Dikadatani, like Rabbi Yehuda, Vikadatani, like Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Ravashi was the compiler of Ravashi did to Gemara what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did to Mishnayos. So he put together all these different braises, and he had one Tana, one Amayra was saying over what he heard, and his girsa was Rabbi Yehuda, and the other one had the girsa Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says Ravashi made a cheshbon, made the kashalei the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, being that if the right girsa would have been Rabbi Yehuda, he would have had a stira between that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Amar, so he said, man the tummy lo ki Rabbi Yehuda lav dafka, the one that had the girsa Rabbi Yehuda, that's not dafka, that's not the good girsa. Man the tummy lo ki Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda dafka, whereas the one that had the girsa Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that must be dafka. That must be the right girsa. Moving along, Zakti Gemara, Krachim, Hamukafim, Choymo, Mi Mois, Yeshua, Benun, Koirim, Bechamisha, Asa, Vechulo. So the Mishnah says that the Megillah can be read b'yudalef yudbeis yudgimel yudalef tezvah. It's a very big kiddush because if you look at the Megillah, all it says is yudalef and tezvah. Yudgimel zman kilo lekolhi v'loy tzarich lerbuye, and then we have either kayomim or zmaneim to be marba yudalef and yudbeis as well. But as it relates to yudalef and tezvah, those 2 days I'm a furish in the Megillah. Okay, so when do you read it on yudalef? When do you read it on tezvah? So the Mishnah said without any seemingly opposition, the people that lived in open cities would read it on Yudalid, and the people that lived in the walled cities would read it on Tezvah. Now the truth is, the fact that people that lived in open cities read it on Yudalid, that's really mefurish in the Megillah. The Megillah says, "Al kena Yehudim aprozim hayoyishvim ba'ori aprozois oisim es yoy marba osel chaydash ada simcha umishta v'yantev umishloyach manos ish lureyeyo." So you see that there's some emphasis that the people that lived in the Ore HaProzois, in these open, exposed cities, they would read the Megillah on Yudal. As it relates to people that live in walled cities dating back to the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, they should read it on Tezvav. There's no mention of that in the Megillah. The only thing you do see in the Megillah is that in Shushan, they rested on the 15th day. And you also see that there is a 15th day that someone's going to... So who should read on that 15th day? For sure, Shushan. I mean, that's the way you start the Gemara. You know, the question is, who else? But the Mishnah comes and delineates it, that it depends. If you live in a city that was walled, dating back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun, you have a din like Shushan, and you're going to read the Megillah on Tezvah. Everybody else, they're going to read on Yudalit. So it's a little bit unclear how Chazal came up with this understanding, and that's what the Gemara begins with. Minani Mili, how do we know this? On my Rava, Rava said, on my Krav, the Pasuk says, Alkein Ayudim Aprozim, Hayoishmim Ba'ori Aprozois V'goyim. And what does the Pasuk say? Like we just said, they should read it on Yudalit. Is mid the Prozim Barba Asar, if the Prozim live, read it on Yudalit, so Mukafin, the people that lived in the walled cities, V'chamisha Asar. I mean, it says if you live in an open city, you're going to read it on Yudalit. Okay, so what if I don't live in an open city? Must be, you do it on Tezvav. Why Tezvav? I mean, that's the other day mentioned in the Megillah. So that's probably when you're going to do it. So the Gemara says, "Ema prozim bar ba asam mukaf and klal klaloi." Maybe the people that live in the prozim, they should do it on Yudalid, and the people that live in the walled city shouldn't do it at all. Now, what do you mean? It says Tezvav. No, Tezvav will be for Shushan. But if you live in a walled city, I don't know. Read the Megillah. It says Shushan Tezvav, open cities Yudalid. I guess if you live in a walled city, so you're out. But the Gemara says, how could that be? Number one, V'lav Yisrael Nino, what, they're not Jews? So what does that mean? V'oid mahoidovat kush ksiv. Achashverosh was moilech mehoidovat kush. That means he ruled from sea to shining sea. That means all the Jews, even the ones living in these walled cities, were subject to the danger and of the decree of Lahashmedu Laharik. So why would they not celebrate? It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, I hear, Abaveim a prozim barbot beser. Maybe the people that live in the prozim should be on the 14th. And mukafin bar beser. Maybe they should be on the 14th and the 15th. Kedich siv, this is part of the question. And it's a little mashma that way. It sounds like it's a 2-day yontif. Like there's a yontif sheni here. So maybe that's what it means. The people that live in the prozim, they'll be on the 14th. Shushan will be the 15th. What about people that live in the walled cities? You're right, it doesn't mention it anywhere. So maybe this pasuk is telling us when they're supposed to read it, 14th and 15th. So the Gemara says, yeah, because of es yoimar ba'asar v'chamish asar k'tagamer. Had it said that you should celebrate Purim on the 14th, v'chamish asar the 15th, I would say maybe it's a 2-day yontif. Hashad d'chsev es yoimar ba'asar, the es yoim chamisha asar, also es, the word es came, upasik, and it was mafsik. Hani barba asar, v'hani b'chamisha asar. That no, there's no one that's going to have a 2-day yontif. Some are going to have it on the 14th, and some are going to have it on the 15th. Says the Gemara, okay, we still don't necessarily have our makar, because the aim of prozim bar besar, maybe the prozim should be on the 14th, and the mukafim ibo bar besar ibo b'chamisha. Maybe they have an option. Maybe they could be on the 14th or the 15th. So again, the prozim are on the 14th, that's clear. Shushan the 15th, that's obvious. Read the Megillah. The question is, what about the krakim hamukaf eschaim? It's not mentioned anywhere. So, you're right, part of Hoydavat Kush, they're Yidden, they're for sure going to have an obligation to read the Megillah. It's not going to be 2 days, because there's no makar for 2 days. It's going to be V'es is mafsik. It's going to be only 1 day. Which day? So we said 15th. I don't know, maybe they have a choice. Maybe it's the 14th or the 15th on my cross, and we refer back to Amid Aleph. We said Bizmaneim. And in the word Zmaneim was also Zmanon, which meant Zmanu Shalzeh, Loi Zmanu Shalzeh. So whoever reads on the 14th can't read on the 15th. And whoever reads on the 15th can't read on the 14th. As a result, it's going to be one of the 2 days. If the Prozim are on the 14th, it's certainly mashma that the people in the walled cities are not on the 14th. So when are the people in the walled cities going to read it? They're going to read it on the 15th. Marsav Eimer Betleiser. Maybe they should read it on the 13th. Right, we said it's so obvious that the 13th is a day. So maybe they should read it on the 13th. So the Gemara says, Kishushan. No, because once Shushan is on the 15th, it's mistaber that that day is going to be the 15th. So again, it's a little bit unclear. But the bottom line is, what the Gemara says is that how do you know that the walled cities are on the 15th? Meaning, why are we even singling out the walled cities? Like, what is a walled city have to do with anything? The teretz is because in the pasuk already emphasizes that if you lived in the Arei HaProzim, then you read it on the 14th. So it's mashma that the people living in the walled cities are different. They're not going to read it on the 14th. When are they going to read it? Mistaber, plus a little bit of cheshbon, it's going to end up being on the 15th. But the Gemara says, Ashkechon Asiyah, Schira Minalon, we have a makar for Asiyah. We don't have a makar for Schira. What do you mean? The pasuk that we're quoting that says that the people that live in the Prozim are on the 14th, and then we worked a little backwards on process of elimination. We had the people living in the Krochim being on the 15th. It says, Al-Kain ha-Yehudim ha-Prozim ha-Yoshvim ba-Arei ha-Prozois oisim es yoimar ba-Asa l'chodesh Adar simcha u-mishte v-yontif u-mishloich manis ishloich. It actually says everything. It says simcha, mishte, that's Adalayoda. You have mishloich manis. You have all the mitzvahs, but you actually don't have the Megillah. So how do you know that everything that we just said relates to the Megillah? Yeah, maybe for all the other mitzvahs, but how do you know for Megillah? Amakra v'ayamim ma'ele niskarim v'nasim. There's another important pasuk at the end of the Megillah. V'ayamim ma'ele niskarim v'nasim. Iskish schira l'asiya. Schira means the mitzvah Megillah. Asiya means all the mitzvahs. So you see clearly that we equate schira l'asiya. So whatever is true for asiya is going to be true for schira as well. Zok Gemara. Masnis and like Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. Who is this Tana? The Tanya. Rabbi Shulman Karcha said, Krakim hamukofin choyma mimois achashverosh. Very different than the town of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if you live in a city that's walled, and the wall dates itself back to Yeshua ben Nun, then you read on the 15th. Rav Shulman Karcha said that if you live in a city that's walled, but the wall dates itself back to the times of Achashverosh, then you're Koyin Becham Yisho. So the Gemara says, my time with Rav Shulman Karcha, Kishushan, ma Shushan, mekafes choymi, meis Achashverosh. Makes sense. Shushan was on the 15th. All walled cities, you want to be on the 15th? I hear, because Shushan was walled. Wasn't walled back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. There's no historical evidence of that, says Rashi. As opposed to the fact that it was walled from the times of Achashverosh, so any city that's walled going back to that time is going to be Kairi Bechamishas. Nu, Av Kosham, Mekafes Chayim, Mais Achashverosh, Kairi Bechamishas, any city that's walled going back to the times of Achashverosh is going to read it on the 5th. So the Marseille, V'tanu da my time, but what's Pshat in our time? Our Tana says that the city would have to be walled going back to Yeshua ben Nun. How do you know Yeshua ben Nun? Maybe Achashverosh. So the Gemara says, Yalif Prozi, has a Xerosh of Xivach. It says over here, okay, now Yehudim HaProzim. Fixiv Hasam, and it says, Vir, Kol Eile, Orim, Betsurois, Choyma, Gevoya, Dilosayim, Uvriach, Levad, Me Ori HaProzi, Harbimoid. Now here, okay, now Yehudim HaProzim is a pasuk in Esther. Vir is a pasuk in Devarim. So we have a Gzeirah Shava from a pasuk in Esther to a pasuk in Devarim, which in and of itself is interesting. But regardless, what does the Gzeirah Shava teach me? Malahalon, take out the next two words, Mi Mois Yeshua Benon. Afkan, take out the next two words, Mi Mois Yeshua Benon. That just like the prozi of Parshas Devarim is describing the open cities when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, meaning the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So too, the Arai Prozim that are mentioned in Esther is also referring to that same exact time. So you want to know why the Artana holds that Prozi is based on what was in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, it's based on a Ksnei Rishav. So the Gemara says, Bishlami, Rabbi Shulman Karcha, Liyam HaKatana Didan. I understand Rabbi Shulman Karcha didn't learn like the Tana of our Mishnah. The Leslay Prozi, because it doesn't hold the Ksnei Rishav, Prozi. And Rashi tells us that in order to darshan Gzei Rishava, you would have to have a Messiah from your Rabbeim. And clearly, Rabbi Shulman Karcha didn't have this Messiah. Elo Tana Didan. But our Tana, my time of the Yomak, Rabbi Shulman Karcha. Why doesn't he hold like Rabbi Shulman Karcha? Why doesn't he hold? It's going back to the times of Achashverosh. So the Gemara says, my time, what kind of question is asked? Do Islay Prozi. If he holds a Prozi, so that's it. He has a Gzei Rishava. He did have a Messiah. He didn't just make up Prozi. There was a Messiah going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So of course, that's why the Gemara says, no. Hachi Kamina. But we mean to say it's like this. Elo Shushan, the Ovid Keman, his question was, was that Shushan, when should they read? Loikiprozen veloikimukafen. Now, what does it mean? I mean, Shushan, Punk Shushan, where the miracle happened, that's the day you shouldn't read the Megillah? No, what Rashi says is that if you're going to tell me we have a Gzeres Shava, that the only time you're supposed to read the Megillah on Tezvav is if you have a city that's walled going back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. As far as we know, Shushan doesn't go back to Yeshua ben Nun. We don't know. So if we don't know when Shushan traces itself back to, so why are we reading in Shushan on the 15th? According to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, any city that was walled to the times of Achashverosh read on the 15th. That's why Shushan reads it on the 15th. But according to the Chatan of our Mishnah, that really, when do you read on the 15th? If you go back to Yeshua ben Nun, well, Shushan doesn't go back to Yeshua ben Nun, so then why does Shushan read it on the 15th? So it's a Geshmak Akasha, but there's a very obvious answer. Amar Rava, Ta'amri Lakadi, Shani Shushan, Hoyo Vanazibanez. Shushan, that's because that's when they celebrated it originally. So that's why we do it on the 15th. Yo, we're trying to figure out every other city. Every other city, Yudalit, Tezvav, it's walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, the times of Achashverosh. Shushan is a whole different deal. One more Gemara. Says the one, Bishlam of the Tana Didan, Bishlam according to the Tana of our Mishnah, that holds that when do you read the Megillah on the 15th? If you have a walled city that traces itself back to Yeshua ben Nun. Hainu d'chsev, that's Pshadon, the Pasuk that says, Vayomim ha'ilin iskarim v'nasim, b'chol dar v'dar, mishpacha u'mishpacha, medino medina, v'ir v'ir. So, Medina, what does it mean, Medina? Meaning, depending on what Medina in, that's going to determine when you're going to read the Megillah. Depending on what kind of city you live in, that's going to determine when you're going to read the Megillah. Meaning, I could live in a certain, this Medina, that Medina, this year, that year. Says the Gemara, it sounds like it's a bunch of variables. So, I understand, Medina is l'chalik bein mekof and chamim meis yeshua benon, l'mekefes chamim meis hachashverish. I live in a walled city, okay? Is it going back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun, or is it only going back to the times of Achashverosh? If it's Yeshua ben Nun, it's going to be on the 15th. If it's Achashverosh, it's going to be on the 14th. Ir v'ir nami. I understand ir v'ir as well. L'chalik bein Shushan l'shar ha'yaros. Because even if I don't live in a city that's walled, going back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun, there's another piece of diligence you have to do. Do I live in Shushan? Or do I not live in Shushan? Because if I live in Shushan, even though it's not walled going back to the times of Shushan ben Nun, I'm still going to read it on the 15th. So there's really two questions you have to add. There's a question there before you decide when Purim is going to be. Please fill out this form, right? Number one, Medina. You live in a walled city going back to Yeshua ben Nun? 15, check. If not, no, 1 second, you have to answer the next question. Do I live in Shushan? Maybe I live in Shushan. Ella, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. But according to Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, the questionnaire has one question. Because Bishlam Medina, L'chalik ben Shushan l'shar ha'yaros. Well, is it a walled city from the times of Shushan, or is it any others? Ella, Irvir, L'mayasa. What other question is there? It's very simple. Was it walled in the times of Shushan, or was it not? Amalek Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, I hear what you're saying. But Ulatana Didan, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're darshaning this pasuk as if this pasuk has something to do with this question of what walled means. Does walled mean going back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun, or does walled mean going back to the times of Achashverosh? So he says, according to you, keeping this like prosi, Medina, Lamali. If Medina is a drasha, it's a halacha, you ask me a kasha from here, as if to say, it's coming to teach me something related to this. What do I need it for? You have prosi, you have a geribina, Zereshava with Messiah and all. So why do you need to even have a Medina? Ella Krala, Joshua the Asa, this pasuk is coming to teach me something else. Don't mix this into our conversation. It has nothing to do with our conversation. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who the Asa. It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we have Yeshua ben Nun, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, and now we have Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dumb Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Krach v'chala samuchloi. A walled city and any city that's close to it, or v'chala niri imo, even if it can be seen from it, Nidin k'krach, is considered a walled city. Adkan. The Gemara says, how far? Like, how? What kind of proximity? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, V'itayim Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Some say Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, Kem Michamsa L'Tveri. It's the distance from Chamsa to Tveri, which, by the way, mil. It's a mil. Says the Gemara, V'leim a mil. Just say a mil. Hakamash Malon. Tana wanted to teach us, the Shiyura de mil Kamahava. What's the distance of a mil? Kem Michamsa L'Tveri. It's the distance from Chamsa to Tveri. This concludes a heavy Megillah Daf Beis. By tomorrow's daf, we're already going to digress, and then we're going to digress from our digression, and then before you know it, we'll be learning about Afinoy Boisanes, Exer Hashem Yavirenu Dalanamis Peshus Arabim, and then we'll have more digressions and more digressions, and a few days we'll be learning about Vayhi Bimei HaShveirosh and 5-6 Blad of Agadot that literally goes through almost every single word in Megillah Esther. You don't find this anywhere. We literally take a whole book in, a whole Sefer Ksuv in Megillah Esther, and literally chapter and verse, we analyze it one pasuk after another. But just to end with one very, very short hergish, and that is, and I was thinking that we're starting Masechtas Megillah now. Masechtas Megillah goes to Daf Lamed Beis, which means it's 31 dafin. It's really 30 dafin and change. So this year is an Ibiyar. My hergish was that we have two Adars this year, but really we have a third Adar, because we're learning Masechtas Megillah. Masechtas Megillah is mamish, it's all about Mishanichnas Adar, right? That's what it's going to be about. We already jumped into all the halachas of Megillah, and we're talking about Achashverosh the whole daf. So this is mamish, we're being zeichet this year to a third Adar. It's a very, very chashuv thing. You know, we just finished Masechtas Tainis, right? Just to be mashalev, to fuse Masechtas Tainis and Masechtas Megillah. Chazal say, Kishem Shem Mishenichnas Av Mematim Besimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. You know, the last few dafin of Masechtas Tainis, so they discuss the different halachas as it relates to what you're not allowed to do on Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, Erev Tisha B'Av, the Sudam Afsekes, the 3 weeks. There's no halachis in Shulchan Aruch of what it means, Mishenichnas Adam Marbim Besimcha. Right, Mishenichnas Adam Mematim Besimcha, there's a whole halach of Shulchan Aruch, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. Mishenichnas Adam Marbim Besimcha, there's no halachis mentioned anywhere. I once heard that a yid, for him to be bitzar, ba'atzfus u'ba'avelos, a very, very dangerous thing. Very, very dangerous thing. To be besimcha, that's gewaldig. If du as Hashem besimcha, tachas asher lo yavadut, as Hashem leikecha besimcha, uvetuv leivav. But to be betzar and to be ba'atzvus, that's not so good. Mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha, you don't need a shulchan aruch. Just be happy. That's it. Just be besimcha. What? I don't know. Whatever makes you besimcha. Of course, al derech hatayra. But a person should be besimcha. Oh, but mishenichnas av, if you would tell a yid, oh, it's chodesh av, mematim besimcha, just be ungesetzt and be nebuch, sorrowful and any synonym thereof. That's terrible. The sakana that can come from telling a person just to be completely uninhibited and unhinged and just be reckless in terms of atzvos. You can't do that. So there we have to already limit it. So we tell the yid, yeah, you don't take a shower, you don't cut your hair, and you might in terms of the foods that you eat, etc., etc. That's something that's possible. Mishenichnas adam marbim besimcha, that we don't need. Or mishenichnas adam mematim besimcha, that's dangerous. Because for a yid to be ba'atzvus is not so poshet. So just to end, that it's Megillah Daf Beis, as it relates to Daf Yoimi, is Tuesday's Daf. Tuesday is Asara B'Tevis. It's an incredible thing. So the third Adar of this winter starts when? The first Adar. It starts on Asara B'Tevis. So the Hergish is that the Novi Zechariah said, Koyamar Hashem, Tzvokos, Tzoyma Revi, Vitzoyma Chamishi, Vitzoyma Shvi, Vitzoyma Asiri, Vitzoyma HaRevi, that's Shavasa B'Tamuz, Vitzoyma Chamishi, that's Tisha B'Av, Tzoyma Shvi is Tzoyma Gedalia, Vitzoyma Asiri is Asara B'Tevis, Yia Lebeis Yehuda, one day it will be Lebeis Yehuda, Lesosin Ulesimcha, Ulemoyadim Toivim, Vemes Vashalom Ehov. I don't think it's a coincidence that we're starting Masechtas Megillah, which is a Masechta that's all about Sosoin and Simcha, Mayadim Toifim, HaEmes, Va'ashalom, Ehavu, we should be Zoicha, that this year the Tzoyma Asiri, Asara B'Tevis, it should be Nepach, L'Sosoin, L'Simcha, U'L'Mayadim Toifim.